In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, tomorrow, with a lot of anticipation, begins our vacation Bible school. And we have more than 100 children signed up and various volunteers. This place will be full of excitement and energy as God's word is shared, focusing on the value of life, from the lives of preborn babies to the eternal life in the kingdom of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can say that this is kind of a wow event in the lives of all those involved. It's one of those times when God just seems so close and so real and so amazing. The music, the singing, the skits, the activities, the joy and excitement of all these people coming together for an amazing experience. It's a moment of God's wow. But then, by the end of the week, VBS ends. And a feeling of letdown may come upon us after that kind of mountaintop experience. All those children go back to their homes. Things are put back into place. Life in the church goes back to normal, and it can seem kind of ordinary and humdrum and even dull. Because in our day-to-day living and in our regular activities of the church, you cannot always see God's wow like we may see during VBS. And especially when life turns difficult, and when trials beset you, God's wow can seem very, very far away from you. I think the mountaintop experience of the Lord's transfiguration, because they witness the wow of Christ's glory, did Peter, James, and John fall much harder? Much more deeply into despair on Good Friday when they saw their Jesus nailed to a cross? Do we despair when we can no longer see or experience God's wow in our lives? Elijah had some real God wow moments in his life, didn't he? I mean, think back on Elijah's experiences. There was the time when God used ravens to deliver food to Elijah during a drought. Wow! Ravens don't usually do that, except when the Lord of the ravens commands them. And when Elijah stayed at the home of the widow in Zarephath, her cooking oil and her flour never ran out. That's a God wow, to be sure. And how about the time Elijah stretched himself out over the corpse of that same widow's dead son and prayed that the Lord would restore his life? And sure enough, that dead boy sat up and he lived again. Holy wow. But my favorite Elijah wow story is the contest of the gods at Mount Carmel. Here's Elijah, one prophet of God, one solitary prophet, and he comes up against nearly 1,000 priests of Baal and Asherah, the gods of the Canaanites. in a contest to see which god will send fire from heaven. So the priests of Baal go first. They slaughter their bull. They cried out. They dance all morning until noon, and nothing. And Elijah even mocks them. He says, well, maybe Baal is asleep. He needs to be awakened. Maybe he's relieving himself. Why don't you try to shout a little bit louder to get his attention? And these foolish priests dance around and even cut themselves to bleed. I guess that's supposed to show how earnest they are. But still, there is no response from Baal. Then it's Elijah's turn. He slaughters the bull. He douses it with water. And he offers up a simple, single prayer. Lord, let it be known that you are God in Israel. And down came the fire from heaven, consuming the offering, the water that had been poured over it, and even the stone altar. And the people all fall down on their faces and they say, Lord, the Lord, he is God. I mean, what else can they say but wow? And we thank God for those moments in those days of wow, when he shows himself to us in amazing ways. And we cannot help but shout, our God is an awesome God. Have you ever had days like that? I mean, maybe it was a day when a child was born. That's a wow, isn't it? When you have more than 100 kids worshiping and praising God here in our sanctuary, I mean, that's wow. When you pray and your prayer is actually answered as you hope it would be, wow. Or when the doctor says to you, you are healed. Or when you worship and the worship service is especially good and songs are just right. Or when you are spared and your life is spared in an accident. Wow. But please be aware, most days are not like that. Most days fall somewhere in the range between ordinary and awful. It's more like the day that Elijah had when Jezebel found out what had happened at Mount Carmel. And she pledged to kill the prophet in revenge. You talk about a letdown after this mountaintop experience. You can imagine Elijah feeling so high on the Lord after that experience when his God won over the gods of Canaanites. But now, all of a sudden, his life is in danger. He is a fugitive. And Elijah, in his letdown, he falls hard. And he complains to the Lord, why did you send me? Why did you devour that sacrifice with fire? Why have you roused Jezebel against me? And his complaints get even worse than that. Take my life away, he says. I'm finished, God. I'm done. After that mountaintop experience, God's wow had fizzled. The thrill was gone. Life got hard. And maybe you have experienced Elijah's disappointment with God. Things were going swimmingly beautifully when all of a sudden the bottom fell out. And then come the whys. Why does this evil follow me? Why does God seem to hate me? Why does he seem so distant? Why does this happen to me? What if we no longer see God's wows in our lives? Does it mean that God is letting us down? If you have ever wondered about that, would you please listen to what happens next in Elijah's story? There he is, sulking in his man cave. He is down on God, he is down on life, he is down on the ministry. And the Lord comes to him and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Not, of course, that the Lord doesn't know what Elijah is doing there. It's Elijah who needs to get his mind straightened out. And did you notice how gently God deals with Elijah? He doesn't nail him for his doubts. He doesn't damn him for his forgetfulness of God's mercies. But instead, he asks mild, gentle questions to try to draw Elijah out, to help him to turn back to the Lord and back to his love. And did you notice how patiently he listens to Elijah's complaint? Elijah said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, but the people have forsaken the covenant. They have thrown down your altars. They have killed your prophets. I am the only one that is left, O God, in all of Israel. And then now they are seeking to kill me too." Have you ever griped to God like that? "I work hard for my family, Lord. I have been zealous for the church. I try to be a good person and a helpful neighbor, and this is what I get?" So God tells Elijah, "You go out and stand before the mount of the Lord. I'm going to pass by." And Elijah doesn't obey right away. He's still licking his wounds. He prefers to stay there in his man cave, soaking away. But eventually he does what God wants him to do, where he has one of the strangest and most wonderful encounters with the Lord that are recorded in the scriptures. Our reading from 1 Kings chapter 19 says that as he is standing there, waiting for the Lord to pass by, there is this strong wind that tears the mountains and shatters the rocks before the Lord. Wow. But the Lord wasn't in that wow. And then next came the earthquake that shook the mountain beneath his feet. Wow. But the Lord wasn't in that wow. And then came the fire, hot and consuming and fearful. Wow. But the Lord wasn't in the fire either. Wind and earthquakes and fire, some of the most awesome forces known to us, forces that make us say, wow. But the Lord was not in those things. Is it God's way of saying, Elijah, do you think I have lost my power in the face of your trials? Yes. I could squash Ahab and Jezebel if I wanted. I could give you a quick fix to all your problems if I wanted. I could fix your bank account. I could heal your body. I could make your family and your friends and even your church all that it should be for you. I could give you wow all the time. Do not think for a moment that I am impotent in the face of your letdowns. And then the Lord whisper. And what did he say? Our reading doesn't tell us exactly. But maybe he said, Elijah, I would like you to stop your pity party. Leave these doubts of yours buried in your cave. And I want you to go. I want you to go because as long as I give you breath, I have got something for you to do. And regardless of the challenges you face, I will be with you. I will love you. I will uphold you. And we remember when the Lord himself went to the mountain of his sacrifice to do his work. There was no wow in being sacrificed. Except, wow, that's really awful. And yet, it was precisely in the suffering and in the weakness that God glorifies his Son and did his most awesome work, putting down our enemies once and for all. In submissiveness to those who flog him, he shed the blood that so powerful cleanses our sin. In the humility of that painful thorny crown, he gave us the crown of everlasting life. With both hands nailed to the cross, he delivered the knockout blow to the kingdom of Satan and his dominion. He was swallowed up by death in utter weakness, that he might rise to kill that beast from inside. You know, God didn't save us with a lot of wow, with powerful earthquakes and mighty winds and fiercely consuming fires that bowl over sin and death and the devil. He saved us with the whisper of a dying Savior who used his last breath to pray for your forgiveness. That's the God we love and worship. The one who occasionally shows us some wow, but who for the most part works through the whispers. Through those means that seem weak in the eyes of the world, but faith recognizes as his mighty salvation. A silent splash of a little bit of water in baptism. A little taste of bread and wine at the altar. The ineloquent words of a very ordinary pastor. And yes, even in our sufferings and in the crosses that we bear, not a lot of wow there, I can tell you. And that's why So many churches despise these things, and they instead try to create a little bit of wow in their churches with a gospel of prosperity and preached by powerful motivational speakers. And then you add some special lighting and some really emotional steering songs and prayers, and then you have some wow that will really draw people in. But God does not promise to be in those things. Besides, those things are often used to spread lies by enticing us to let down our guards against false teaching. When we no longer see God's wow, let's remember the lesson that Elijah learned. Life with God is not usually about wow. Most of the time, it's just that steady daily walk with the Lord in which we encounter Him in the places where He has promised to be. The whispers. In His holy word, in the absolution, in our baptism, in His supper, where He nourishes us. And yes, also in our sufferings, by which He schools us in perseverance and character and hope. And having received mercy, life with God is about going out, like Elijah, to minister to others the grace and mercy and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's amazing how God even whispers through us. And then finally, when our journey is over and we draw that last breath, then comes the eternal wow forever. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.